ஸ்ரீகுருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம் கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிகும் ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஸ்வம் வன்னோதிபிஸ் சீத சாதனம் ஸ்ரீ மஹாகணாதிபதயே நம. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் ஆத்மஸ்வரூபம் பந்துகண. ஐ ரிமெம்பர் ஐ வாஸ் டூயிங் த 46th வெர்ஸ். ஸோ லெட் அஸ் சே தபஸ்விப்யோதிகோ யோகி ஜ்ஞானிப்யோபி மதோதிகா கர்மிப்யஶ்சாதிகோ யோகி தஸ்மாத் யோகி பவார்ஜுனா. ஹே அர்ஜுனா, யோகி பவா. அர்ஜுனா, பி எ யோகி, பிகம் எ யோகி. ஸோ ஐ வாண்ட் டு பிகம் எ மில்லியனர். வாட் வில் ஹேப்பன்? நத்திங் வில் ஹேப்பன். ஐ வாண்ட் டு பிகம் அ யூஎஸ் சிட்டிஜன். ஓகே, கோ ஹெட் அண்ட் பிகம், பட் இட் வில் பி பெட்டர் டு பிகம் எ யோகி. இன் ஸ்பைட் ஆஃப் பிகமிங் ஆல் அதர் திங்ஸ், it is better to become a yogi. Each becoming has its own advantage, but there is a heavy downside for every advantage. We should know that. So you can become a few things, but at some point we should try to become yogi. Yogi bhavarjuna. So generally people don't want to become yogis, they want to become all kinds of. Somebody wants to become grandpa. Why should you become a grandpa? What for? These are all samsaric goals, you know. So this is the flow of nature, you know. Why should I have such a desire? So suppose I desire, let the sun rise in the east tomorrow morning. Why should you desire like that? It will rise. You will become grandpa. You need not desire it. So that way what happens, the mind's energies are all frittered away in the wrong direction. So one should be earnest and very eager to become a yogi. Yogi bhavarjuna, Shri Krishna's advice to Arjuna. Shri Krishna, incarnation of Bhagavan, get advice given to his dearest friend. It is not some advice given upon the occasion. Samaya nikitagu mataladi, like that you hear, you know, it is not that kind of an advice. It is an advice. What I mean is, sometimes we give advice depending upon the demands of this situation or occasion, like that. It is not a real wonderful advice. For an occasion it is okay. It is not that kind of an advice. Gita me hrudayam partha. He says elsewhere, somewhere in Anugita or somewhere he says, hey partha, hey Arjuna, Gita me hrudayam. Gita is my hrudayam. Gita means not the book, what I taught to you. At that time, I told what was in my heart. Because bhaktosime sakha cheti rahasyam yetaduttam. You happen to be my dear friend, sakha, and then you are devoted to me also, and therefore, whatever secret is there, secret is always in the hrudayam, you know. Hrudaya is the place where you keep the secret. So rahasyam, uttamam rahasyam. So the most valuable rahasya, secret, I told you. So that means it is a very wonderful advice. We should take it very seriously. And everybody should be in the place of Arjuna. Arjunam nimittikrityaha Bhagavan. That is what Shankara says in the Bhashyam. Arjuna is only a medium through which the entire mankind is addressed. So every individual should try to become yogi. So people want to reform the society. You may reform the society, okay, good enough, good, fair enough. But wanted reformers of oneself. Wanted. That reformer is wanted. So you have to reform yourself. Then suppose if I reform myself, if I reform the society, I gain name and fame and all that. I become an important social person. Suppose if I reform myself, what do I get? What is the pay? Divinity is the payment. You become the divinity itself. So that one has to reform oneself, that is the yoga. And so you become the reformer of yourself, Yogi Bhavarjuna. Yoga is, in this context, Samya Yoga. Because just if you look at the earlier verses, Yoyam Yogastvaya Prokta Samyena Madhusudana. Samyena Yoga, Ittham Bhuta Lakshane Trutiya. The yoga which is in the form of Samya. Because that is what Bhagavan was saying from the beginning. Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. Yoga is a samatvam. The sameness is yoga. Sameness of what? Why? Samam Kaya Shirogrivam. Bhagavan himself explained what is sameness. In Gita, if you want to know the word meaning, you look around. Gita is its own lexicon. You need not check any other lexicon. So, Samam, he explained Sama in his own way. So that explanation is complete. So Samam Kaya Shirogrivam, you sit like this and practice meditation. That is yoga. Samam, sit like this. Suppose you purchase a sofa and sit like this. That is not Sama. Sit like this, that is not Sama. So sitting in a meditative posture is Sama. Samam Kaya Shirogrivam. Dharayan. What happens if you sit like this? What will happen? Everything will happen. In fact, everything begins to happen from that point. That is the starting point. So, if you construct a bund across the river, what will happen? Everything will happen. You can flow, you can direct the flow into irrigation channels and get a crop, good crop and all that. So, sit like this. Then achalam sthiraha. Your mind becomes sthira. What more you want? Mind becomes stable. So, what is the source of sorrow in life? Thought. Thought is the source of sorrow. What is the source of fear in life? Thought. So, anatmanastu shatrutve vartet atmaiva shatruvata. So, if the mind becomes stable, our mind is very fickle and very agitated. That is our problem. So, if the mind, we think that the world is chaos. Chaotic. There is no chaos in the world. There is only one place where there is chaos. That is your mind. That is the only chaos in this world. There is no other chaos. So you are viewing the world is wrong. That's why you see it chaos in the world. So if the picture is if everything looks red, so that means you are wearing red glasses. That is how it is. Therefore, so sthiraha, the mind becomes sthira. That is yoga. Samatvam yoga uchyate. Then what is the sameness further? Sukha dukhe samaya krutva. Labha labhau jaya jaya. So the world is full of opposites. Don't complain about the opposites, because all manifestation is in opposites. Why there is sorrow in the life, in the world? Because there is joy in the world, therefore there is sorrow in the world. Why there is adharma? Because there is dharma in the world, therefore there is adharma. If there is no adharma, you would not know what is dharma. Why Bhagavan should create dukkha? Because he created sukha also, he cannot help it, he has to create dukkha also. To make you know sukha, he has to create dukkha also. All manifestation is in the form of opposites. So then what should we do? You see, you should not identify with the opposites. So if you have a situation in which there are opposites, all situations are like that. So life situations are all fraught with opposites. So there are opposites, this plus and minus, opposites are there. Now you face both of them successively, and so your response is attachment and aversion. To one of them you get attached, to the other you become averse. Automatically, it is spontaneously it happens. So this is how there is a dvandva outside and there is a dvandva inside. There is a dvandva, dvandva is the pair of opposites. There is a dvandva inside and therefore there is a dvandva outside. It's a circle. So mutually reinforcing. It doesn't help. So what should we do? Nirdvandvo bhava. Nirdvandvo bhava. So etc. In Gita second chapter. Nityasatvastha niryogakshema atmavan. Very big, big words. Very powerful words. So nirdvandvo bhava. You transcend the opposites. How? Nityancha samachittatva mishtanishtopapattishu. That samachittatva. So everywhere samatvam. That is the yoga. Samya yoga. Sukham va yadi va dukham sa yogi paramomataha. That is the yoga. Because yogi bhava doesn't mean start doing asanas. That doesn't mean that. You have to do asanas. That is okay. But the meaning should not be restricted to just asanas. Yogi bhava. Therefore I am doing asanas. I have done everything. No. Asanas we will be able to do up to a point. Afterwards we will not be able to do. Body, you know, it deteriorates. Even for people who perform asanas, it deteriorates. Arogyam, health, is a transient. It is not permanent. So, anyway, this is part of the nature. So, you have to do asanas. That is fine enough. But the yoga is not just Hatha yoga alone here in this context, especially in Gita. Yoga means buddhi yoga, the knowledge, the wisdom, that is the yoga. And what is the wisdom? More specifically, what is the wisdom? It is the wisdom of sameness. Samatvam yoga yuchyate. Sameness, equanimity, that is the yoga. This equanimous person, tapasvibhyaha adhikaha. I don't know whether I am repeating a few things. I said partly in the last class and now I am just going through it. Doesn't matter. So, tapasvi is an ascetic. Ascetic, tapasvi is one who bears hardships voluntarily. That is tapasvi. If you bear hardship with unhappiness, complaining, and very sadly, that is not tapas. That is suffering. Whereas, if you voluntarily bear hardship, like you skip lunch and dinner, Ekadashi, or Saturday, Venkateshwara Swami's name you take and skip dinner. Skip dinner, don't substitute dinner, skip dinner. Not substituting. You may substitute also with a little if you wish, but skipping whatever, fasting. That is a tapas. Because the hardship we bear voluntarily, that is tapas. And why yogi is superior to tapasvi? Tapas is very desirable, you know. Yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyameva tat. Yajnam danam tapas, they are very valuable disciplines in person's life. So we are not saying anything against tapas. So then what is the meaning of this? Yogi tapasvibhyaha adhikaha. The buddhi yogi means the person of equanimity towards opposites. You see, that is the yoga. That person who is established in sameness, this person is superior to ascetics because, you know, what is an ascetic who bears hardships voluntarily? Why he does that? Because he wants to get power and enjoyment. That is the ascetic. Vishwamitra, a great ascetic. Why? What does he want? He wants some pleasures, and then he wants to win over Vasishtha. That is power. People want power. I tell you, people they are power mongers. They want power. Nobody wants wisdom. They want power, and they are ready to sacrifice wisdom for power. So the ascetic, we have many stories like that, you know. So that power comes and they try to show that power on others and dictate the lives of others. Some good will come out of it, not because the power, the showing power is intrinsically correct or any such thing. when you show power in a given situation, some good will come out of it, because some bad also will come out of it. The opposites, it is all opposites. The world is like that. When Ravana was ruling, he had given a good rule for some people, but he is a bugbear for, he is a horrible person for many others. So that is how the power mongering, it leads to the opposites. That's why we have a vakyam, Rajyante Narakam Dhruvam. Therefore, this person is an ascetic because he wants power. People want power, I tell you. First they want money. And having gained enough of it, now they want power. You see, when we are making money in dollars, tens of dollars, the single dollar bill appears valuable to us, but cents and nickels and dimes appear meaningless. When you make money in hundreds, then single dollar bills appear silly. Okay, chalo, have a bill, two bills you have, like that. We don't have value for it. Then when you make in thousands, $10 bills become meaningless. Then when you make in millions, $100 bills become meaningless. And so like this, the greed grows. So that means if you come across a $10 bill, it has no worth for you. You should come across a bundle of $100 bills, that only will impress you. This is how the greed increases, really. And then the greed for money will be eventually substituted by greed for power. And this situation is not redressed even when the person is religious. It continues to be there. Because the same ego, no? The same ego which is running around in the world, which is running riot in the world, it comes into the religion. And so, will it become pure immediately? No. It will bring the entire baggage into religion. That is tapasvi. God bless him. He is doing tapasya. He will be rewarded, no doubt. He is doing tapas for reward and he will get it. But there is a heavy downside to it. He has to face it. Vishwamitra's story. So, but yogi. Yogi's superiority is that he is not hankering after power and pleasures. That is, because he is nirdvandvaha. So, he is desireless. He is not seeking anything. He is sama. You see, to seek, you should be having the opposites in you. You are attached and you are averse. Then only you will seek. You will seek two things. You will seek that to which you are attached, and you will seek that to which you are averse. I mean, you want to get rid of that to which you are averse. That is also seeking, a negative kind of seeking. So, like taking flu shot. So, it's a kind of seeking. So, both kinds of seeking is there. Flu shot taking is okay. I just gave as an example. So, I'm not advising you not to take flu shot. Just to give an example, that is avoiding is also a pursuit. I want to avoid something, therefore I act in a very positive, deliberate way. I act. I get hold of a doctor, pay the fees and get an injection. To that extent I act, because I want to avoid something. So this way, where is equanimity now? So as long as we are stuck with the opposites, we are in the outside, then we will be stuck with the corresponding opposites of attachment and aversion, ragadvesha. They will be there. Whereas here is a person who rose above the opposites, who is sama. Therefore, sama means there is no desire anymore. Samatvam is desire. You see, desirelessness is sameness and it is fullness. Two things it is. At once it is two things. Is sama. And in the context of Gita, sama is Brahma. Nirdosham hi samam Brahma. Because in attachment there is dosha. Vishama it is. Opposite of sama, vishama. In aversion there is dosha. So in attachment, aversion situation there is dosha. Vishamam is dosham. Samam is nirdosham. There is no dosha, there is no blemish in it. Therefore, A tapasvi is a great person, very laudable, but still there is dosha in him. Therefore, he, in spite of his glory, he remains inferior to yogi. Therefore, he Arjuna is a man of, he is an ascetic. He performed tapas. Therefore, that aspect he kept in mind and told, tapasvi bhyodhiko yogi. Arjuna performed penance, Lord Shiva, for 12 years. Lord Shiva appeared before him and asked, what do you want? I want the weapon called Pashupatastra. That is what he wanted. For what? Because he has to defeat Duryodhana and gain power. Right? And the enjoyment. Both go together. So he is a tapasvi. So you had been a tapasvi, but yogi is a superior to tapasvis, so better you become a yogi now. Tapasvibhyodhiko yogi jnanibhyo pimatodhikaha. Jnani is not atmajnani, obviously it is so clear. So jnani means the scholar of scriptures. So how to discover, how to characterize a scholar of scriptures? So he is an expert in discourses, lecturing people. You see, one who lectures to people may help people, but he will not be able to help himself. One who lectures oneself alone can help oneself. So before you lecture people, you lecture yourself. You give a lecture to yourself. Sit alone and give a lecture to yourself. What is the lecture? Oh mind, you are wrong. You are projecting all kinds of desires. It is wrong on your part. Keep quiet. Like that you give a lecture to yourself. Oh ego, you have projected a jealousy. Why should you be jealous? Okay, he prospered. Let him prosper. He and me happen to be contemporaries of the same qualification, this and that. But some prarabdha is in his favor. Let him prosper. Oh foolish ego, why are you jealous? It is wrong on your part to be jealous. You give that lecture to yourself. One has to give lectures to oneself like that. Unless one go on giving lectures to others only, that won't solve anything. So one has to give lectures to oneself. You see, they tell a story. A child was having some disease. And the mother took it to a doctor, Vaidya, who gave Ayurvedic medicine, and Pathyam will be there for Ayurvedic medicine. So the Pathyam is no sugar. In those days there was no sugar. Good, jaggery. So none of that. The brown sugar it is called. So that should not be taken by this person, this boy. For 6 months, he should not, as long as this medicine, 1 month let us say, as long as he takes this Ayurveda medicine, he should not eat anything sugar. Children want sugar, you know. If the child is crying, you put a piece of jaggery in the mouth and the child stops crying, you know. So sweet thing, they go after, they will start running after pakodi, etc. later. This hot stuff. Initially they run after only chocolates and other things, right? Suppose you are going to a child. Will you take a chili item or will you take a sweet? You take a sweet. Because children love sweets. And this boy, because of his disease in childhood, unfortunately he should not eat sweets. But he was running after sweets. And so the disease is not getting cured. The doctor told, this way it won't get cured. Even if after taking medicine, you should follow this rule. Pathyam should be followed. Then what to do? She was attending the satsanga of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. He used to conduct a daily satsanga. And then she was attending. So she asked the Paramahamsaji, Mahatmaji, you advise him not to eat sweet for 1 month. You advise him. So that he will stop. I am telling he is not caring for my word. For your word he may care. Then he told, okay, you come after 1 week. She told, why 1 week, Mahatmaji? You advise him, you can advise in 2 minutes. Why 1 week? No, you come after 1 week. In the meanwhile, you struggle. Whatever you have to do, you do. Come after 1 week. So she was surprised. But somebody advised her. Don't run away. You come after 1 week. Follow what he said. So she came after 1 week. Then he remembered, he called that boy and put him in the lab and told him, you have some problem, health problem? Yes. Taking medicine? Yes. What the doctor told you? not to eat sweet, he told you? Yes. And your mother is asking you not to eat sweet? Yes. But what are you doing? I am very fond of sweets, therefore I am eating occasionally. No, no, you should not eat sweets. But till the disease is cured, you should not eat sweets. So now what will you do? Will you eat sweets? No, I will not eat. Okay, go. So he went away. And then, to the surprise of everybody, this boy did not eat sweets anymore. He was cured. Then somebody asked Paramahamsa, why did you not give this advice? It was so powerful and effective advice. Why did you delay for 1 week? He told, I like jilabi myself. And so when I like sweets so much, and I am eating them myself, though I do not have disease, all right, but I am eating them. I am fond of them. So my giving advice to that boy will be meaningless and it will not be effective. He will not care for my advice. So then what did you do? I stopped eating sweets. I practiced that niyamam for some time, not an hour or two, for not a day or two, for 1 week. I cannot go on practicing for months also, but for 1 week I practiced. And I understood in my mind that my desire for sweets is gone. I don't have any desire now for sweets. I may eat a piece here and there, but I don't have any desire. Earlier I had a desire. Now I don't have desire. Sama. I asked him, there is power in the words of a teacher when the teacher knows it in his own heart. Therefore, when I gave this advice to the child, there was power in that advice, and so the child followed it. Somehow, some power, that power of consciousness works, and the child followed that advice. So this way, we have to give lecture to ourselves, not only for others. Therefore, here is a person who knows the scriptures, who is very good in giving discourse also. He has submitted a thesis on the Madhusudana Saraswati's bhakti. Is it an anomaly or is it a synthesis of bhakti and jnanam? That is the name of the thesis. And it is submitted. Madhusudana Saraswati is a great Advaita scholar and he wrote a book on Bhakti Rasayana. So one of the foremost Advaita scholars writing a book, a treatise on bhakti, is something very special. And so there is a thesis on that. And it was submitted. And it was awarded a PhD. And then it was published as a book. The person got a lot of money as royalty and all that. But the point is, does he have bhakti in his heart? Devotion. Bhakti, it's very tough. Bhakti, discovering bhakti in the heart, it is not easy. Here is a young man who is not given to study of shastras, etc. He may not be able to give a discourse on bhakti, but he has total devotion. That wonderful bhakti he has in his heart. So, you see that kind of difference. This Vedanta is like that. So, getting hold of the verbal statements is not enough. A lot of jargon I hold on to, that is not enough. So, I should have that sameness, equanimity in life. I am equanimous. Tulya ninda stutir mauni. Ninda and stuti, both are accepted with an equanimity. That is yogi. So aniketaha sthiramatihi. So yena kena chidashita aniketaha. He doesn't say this is my home. Any home is okay. All homes are my homes only. Sleep in some place. Eat some. Yena kena chita ashita. Ashita means he takes the food. What does he take? Yena kena chita. Anything. Yena kena chid ashita. So, some food, some nutrition. That is all you need. You don't need all kinds of elaborate arrangement, this and that. So, French food festival, Chinese food festival, all these things. Why food festivals? Food should not become a festival, you know. If food becomes a festival, then food becomes a curse, eventually. Food should not become a curse, you know. Food should remain a source of nutrition. That way, we keep it that way. So, that is a jnani is a, that is yoga, that is samatvam. So, that yogi, so jnanibhyopi adhikaha, he is a superior to scholars, etc. He is a adhikaha. So sometimes we come across such mahatmas. Anyway, so karmibhyaschadhiko yogi. So, why he is superior to jnani? Why he is superior to jnani? You know, the reason must be clearly pointed out. This scholarly person, he has got hold of that scholarship for what? For a gain, for pleasure and prosperity. That is the purpose of scholarship. So, in India, some people, they use a word, buddhijivi bolte hai. So, the scholarship is used for pleasure and prosperity. It is not a tool for wisdom. It should be a tool for wisdom. So instead of using it as a tool for wisdom, you use it as a tool for pleasure and prosperity. You study Gita and use it to make a big career out of it. That is not wrong, but definitely unfortunate. It is not wrong, but unfortunate. Because the scholarship is used as a tool for pleasure and prosperity. Whereas, a yogi, he doesn't seek pleasure and prosperity. He doesn't seek. How a yogi, means the seeker of self-knowledge. You see, you cannot serve the God and mammon simultaneously. Either you serve the mammon, or you serve the God. No, we will have a piece of this and a piece of that. It doesn't work like that. Because they are mutually exclusive. So, anyway, yogi is superior to this jnani. Then karmibhyaschadhiko yogi. Karmi is a ritualist. Karma is ritual. Karmi is ritualist. So this ritualist, he performs rituals, sacrifices, yajna, etc., charities, these are all rituals. Pilgrimage is also ritual. And all these rituals are performed again for gaining pleasure and prosperity. Not only here, but also hereafter. Pleasure and prosperity, again the same goal. So, as long as a person is seeking pleasure and prosperity, he cannot be called a yogi. How? No way. That doesn't work. Therefore, so karmibhyaschadhiko yogi. In fact, Shankara, karmibhyaha agnihotradi karma tadvadbhyaha. Karma means not some karma. So karma means agnihotradi karma he is doing. So, Agnihotra is a Nitya Karma. Yavajivam Agnihotram Juhoti. Nitya Karma he is doing. And what for he is doing is with so much devotion he is doing. You know, Karmi means an occasional Karmavan is not called Karmi. That in is a Shilarthe Ninihi. Occasionally performing Karma on Amavasya and on Purnima performs a Karma. He is not called Karmi, he is called Karmavan. So that vat pratyaya is added. Karmi is very important. In Sanskrit it is very critical. Karmi means shilarthe ninihi. The ritual has become his second nature. That's why I said ritualist. Karmi. And agnihotradi karma he is performing. He is a Vaidika. What is your problem? Why your yogi should be superior to him? Because, I told you, the karmi is interested in pleasure and prosperity, mostly hereafter. A Vaidika, Karmi, he relinquishes all pleasures of this world. He doesn't pay much attention to the pleasures of this world. But he is always looking for the pleasures hereafter. So that rasa, that attachment is not gone. So the attachment is postponed for a later day. Because there is a promise, if you postpone the attachment to sense pleasures, then you will get a huge amount of sense pleasures. If you don't postpone, you will get a little. So choose. You want a chocolate now or you want a feast in the night? Okay, I'll manage till the night. You throw a feast, I will go for feast only. This is the attitude of a karmi. Karmi is not striving to rise above the pleasures and pains. He is not striving. You talk with any karmi, he is clear what he wants. He wants to avoid pain and he wants to garner pleasure. That is what he wants. He is very clear about it. No, pain is also good. Who told you pain is good? Did you ever try? Why should I try? I won't try. I want pleasure only. That is karmi. This is Vedantin again. Pain, don't avoid it that seriously. Why should you avoid it? Try. Did you ever try? No, pain will be very painful. Who told you? You try it. Did you ever try? Never tried. Always seeking pleasure and always avoiding pain. Who told you that pain could be so painful? Who told you? You try it and tell me. When you try, means you stop avoiding pain. That is not enough. You stop seeking pleasure also. Both go together. You try this method. From now, no pleasures are sought. And if any pain is coming my way, I won't avoid it. Try it for some time, for a change, and see what happens. The difference between pleasure and pain will be collapsed. It will be wiped out. And you will be in unbroken happiness. It's not a small thing. So, I asked a Mahatma, you ask me not to seek pleasure. I will stop seeking pleasure. Why should I try pain? So, I will stop seeking pleasure. Why should I try pain? Why should I try to avoid pain? Then he told her, you see, you have an ego. Okay, what is the most ingrained attitude of the ego? The lakshana of the ego. What is its lakshana? Its lakshana, we have nurtured it that way all along, that it wants to seek pleasure and it wants to avoid pain at all costs. That is your ego. And now you just work against your own ego. So how to do that? You stop avoiding pain. You stop seeking pleasure. Both you do. Stop avoiding pain. This way, what happens is, the ego gets neutralized. The orientation, the very powerful orientation, it gets neutralized very soon. Therefore, we don't mind receiving pain. We don't mind. And we don't seek pleasure. That is samatvam. So, that yogi is obviously superior to the ritualists. You see, ascetics, academic scholars, and ritualists, tapasvi, jnani, and karmi, they are all bhogis, you know. They are all bhogis. In one form or the other, they are bhogis. And therefore, a yogi is free from attachment and aversion, and a yogi is superior any day to a bhogi. That is the analysis. It is not that Sri Krishna taught yoga, and therefore, because that is what he taught, and so from all, it is superior to other disciplines. It is not like that. Everything is Ishvara's creation only. Even karma, tapas, everything is Ishvara's creation. But they are all steps. In the young age, some tapas we do. We have to do. At the age of 8 or 9, Gayatri is initiated. And he was asked, you do 24, you do some purascharana, a lot of sahasra Gayatri, etc. You do. What will happen? Your buddhi will flourish. Your career will be wonderful. So this young boy was keen to have a wonderful career. He wants to study well. And he forgets a few things occasionally. By doing Gayatri Japa, my memory will improve. Medha will improve, this and that. Therefore, he will do Gayatri Japa. Then, as a grahastha, he will gain heaven, etc. So he will do Gayatri Japa or some karma he will do. But then a point comes when he chants Gayatri only for gaining the knowledge, nothing, none other than that. So every thing has a place, but ultimately we are talking of PhD here. We are not talking of 10th class and junior college. That is all tapasvi, karma, etc. Yoga. So it is PhD in spirituality. And therefore, yogi is superior. Therefore, tasmad yogi bhava Arjuna. A very appropriate advice to Arjuna. Next verse. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. So, okay. You see, yoga, as it is taught in Gita, yoga means you call it karma yoga, or you call it Sankhya yoga. So, in yoga, the emphasis had always been, till this point, in all the six chapters that have gone by, we are concluding the Prathama Shatka, the first unit of six chapters, in which yoga is taught. Yoga is the topic. What is the yoga? What is the essence of this yoga? It is the Buddhi Yoga. That is what we are talking of. Buddhi Yoga. So, yoga means communion, and it is at the level of Buddhi, purification of the mind. That is the yoga that we are taught, Buddhi Yoga. So, Buddhau Sharanam Anvichya Krupanah Phalahetavaha. Bhagavan, he said earlier also, so, Sankhye Buddhihi Maya Proktaha. Sankhye Buddhihi Karmani Buddhihi. Like that he uses the verse, so the usage of the words. So, the Buddhi means wisdom. Wisdom with reference to Sankhya. Sankhya means Viveka, discrimination. The wisdom of discrimination and the wisdom of action, karma yoga. And then the essence of this wisdom, this yoga, is the samatvam. So samatvam yoga uchyate. Like that, he put a very solid foundation of this yoga. Karma yoga and Sankhya yoga. Samya is its defining characteristic. It is inculcated at the level of buddhi. Buddhi is the locus where you have to discover this yoga for yourself. All this is thoroughly established. But now we are coming to the second unit of six chapters. That is called Dvitiya Shatka. So the Prathama Shatka is Tvam Padartha Pradhana. It is predominantly about Tvam Pada. Tvam Pada means the meaning of the word you, means the meaning of the word I. Meaning of the word you is the meaning of the word I. When I say you, it is I, you know. So, I. What is a person? A person is a conscious being and a living being. A conscious being and a living being. This is what we described earlier also. Therefore, living is activity and conscious means a flow of consciousness in terms of perception and conception and understanding, etc. And so there should be yoga in both departments. So in the level of activity, there must be yoga. That is karma yoga. In the level of understanding, there must be yoga. That is Sankhya yoga. But I tell you, between karma and buddhi, buddhi is the most intrinsic to the person. Vijnanamayoyam purushaha. Most intrinsic to the individual is buddhi. But action is also a part of the individual. A person, just buddhi alone is not the individual. Buddhi, then karma, body, a world. So all these things are there. So at one time I said nothing is there. Don't confuse this with that, okay? So you can distinguish, you know. So there is the karma. Karma is external. Buddhi is antaranga. Karma is bahiranga. This is how it is. సో అండ్ ఇన్ ది బహిరంగ దేర్ మస్ట్ బి యోగా అండ్ ఇన్ ది అంతరంగ ఆల్సో దేర్ మస్ట్ బి యోగా సో ది పర్సన్ షుడ్ బి స్టీప్డ్ ఇన్ యోగా యోగీ భవ అర్జున సో వాట్ ఈస్ ది యోగా ఇన్ బహిరంగ దట్ ఈస్ కర్మయోగ తస్మాత్ అసక్త సతతం కార్యం కర్మ సమాచర అసక్తో హ్యాచరన్ కర్మ సో పరమం అశ్నుతే పరమం పదమశ్నుతే వాట్ ఎవర్ సో అసక్త అనాసక్త యోగ దట్ ఈస్ ది కర్మయోగ యు నో దట్ ఫుల్లీ దెన్ దెర్ ఈజ్ సాంఖ్యయోగ సాంఖ్యయోగ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో వెరీ క్లియర్లీ మెన్షన్డ్ సో ఇమాం సాంఖ్యే బుద్ధి మయా ప్రోక్త బుద్ధి యోగే ఇమాం శృణు లైక్ దట్ హీ సేస్ ఫ్రమ్ ది వెర్స్ నెంబర్ 11 టు వెర్స్ నెంబర్ 30 దట్ ఈస్ సాంఖ్యయోగ ఇన్ సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ ఇన్ ది 31st వెర్స్ హీ సేస్ సో టిల్ నౌ ఐ హ్యావ్ టోల్డ్ యూ సాంఖ్యయోగ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ నౌ ఆన్ ఐ విల్ టెల్ యూ కర్మయోగ హీ టోల్డ్ లైక్ దట్ హీ డ్రా ఎ లైన్ దేర్ సో దట్ ఈస్ ది సాంఖ్యయోగ యూ రిఫర్ టు దోస్ వెర్సెస్ దట్ ఈస్ ది సాంఖ్య ద డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ వివేక వివేక జ్ఞాన ఇస్ ది సాంఖ్యయోగ సో బుద్ధి అండ్ కర్మ అంతరంగ అండ్ బహిరంగ బోత్ ఆర్ నౌ టేకెన్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ బట్ దెర్ ఈజ్ వన్ ఏరియా ఇన్ బిట్వీన్ బిట్వీన్ కర్మ అండ్ బుద్ధి సో దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ లింక్ దట్ ఈస్ ద ఇమోషనల్ పర్సన్ సో when the emotions are not properly mature so when the emotions are not in place they will vitiate the karma field the field of karma and when the emotions are wrong they will vitiate the field of buddhi also so between karma and buddhi there is this emotion the mind of bhavana that mano bhavavesha in Sanskrit is called bhavavesha emotions and so you take care of that area also you should be emotionally in the correct situation so that your karma becomes a karma yoga and your buddhi also becomes a buddhi yoga and in the process you end up as the real yogi a complete yogi so your emotional structure should be proper So that means what? You see, the emotions generally, every person is an emotional person. It's not that Mahatmas won't have emotions, etc. But the purity of emotions is very important. So, because otherwise, if the emotional person is not properly taken care of, then the Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, they both get disturbed. This is our problem, really. So that emotional part is purified by a discipline which is described in its own glory. You can always make it part of Karma Yoga, but you can as well discuss it in its own glory. It is called Bhakti. And so Bhagavan is introducing Bhakti now. Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam. It is not enough that you are a yogi. It is not enough. You should be a yogi who is perfect in his yoga. That perfection in yoga, yukta tamaha. Yuktaha means yogi. Yogi eva yukta ityuchyate. Yogi is called yuktaha. Yukta ityuchyate yogi. I think that kind of a vakya is there. Anyway, the word is like that. Yuj. Yuj becomes yukta, yuj becomes yogi. Ja becomes ga, not a problem. Ja becomes chokh kuhu, etc. If not chokh kuhu, something else. So, and u becomes o, guna. So, yuj becomes yogi. Yuj becomes yukta, taprachayam. Nishtha prachaya, it becomes yukta. So, it is not enough to become yukta. You have to become yukta tara. Not enough. You have to become yukta tama. Are karma is yoga. Buddhi is also yoga. That is not enough to become yukta tama. No, not enough. Because you have taken care of tvam. But what about tat? Tvam is taken care of. Karma is about Tvam. Buddhi is about Tvam. What about Tat? Tatpadartha. That also, it should be integrated, you know. So, therefore, it is necessary to take care of Tatpadartha also. It becomes easy. I mean, the progress will be very quick. And it will be very enjoyable also. Because bhakti, it brings a beauty and a rasa, a taste, a rasa into it. A rasa comes into it. A relish, a swadana, aswada, a relishing, savoring that comes into the picture. And then karma and jnanam, they become easy. Like child's play, you can move forward. So bhakti helps you. Therefore, you take bhakti into account. Because intellect takes care of jnanam, karmendriyas takes care of karma. In between, there is this seat of emotions called manaha. This manaha has to be filled with devotion to Ishvara. Otherwise, what happens? Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana. All are yogis, all are practicing very good disciplines. Some are karma yogis and some are practicing viveka as a yoga, sankhya yoga. So, all glory to them. But the yoga really fructifies when bhakti is also there in it. Bhakti must be there. Yukta tamo mataha. Therefore, you should bring bhakti into it. Anyway, I tried to give a structure to it in terms of the faculties that we have. Karma, you see, a discipline must coincide with the faculty that I have. So karma is a discipline to reach Ishvara because I have karmendriyas. Suppose the karmendriyas are weak or ineffective, then karma cannot become a discipline, you know. So karma yoga is it addresses karmendriyas as a faculty. And then viveka, it is for the intellect. You cannot teach viveka to dull person. He must have a refined intellect. Then only you can teach viveka. For a dull person, a dullard, who is not grown in the mind, he cannot appreciate the higher truths of Vedanta, etc. That's why we recite Medha Suktam. So who is totally devoid of Medha, for him, just go on teaching viveka, etc., it doesn't work. Therefore, teach some karma to him. And upasana, it will work for him. So this way, the faculties, all faculties should be harnessed to make yoga complete. This is the problem in the field of spirituality. 10%, 50%, 70%, 90%, they don't work. 100% alone works. Because suppose a person is in the ditch. Do you know ditch? So he is in it. He has fallen in it. One person has fallen in the center of it. Another person has fallen close to the edge. What difference does it make? It makes no difference. Still both are in the ditch only. Okay, he can come out of the ditch a bit easily. He could. Again, that also you cannot tell. Suppose I am close to the shore, therefore he sits there, then he won't reach. The other person only will reach. Therefore, it is not enough that you are closer to the shore. It is not enough. You come out of the ditch, stand on the shore, get the foothold, and stand firmly on the shore and say, now I am Tirnaha, I have crossed the ocean of samsara, you say. Till then, you see, it is always like that. You see, even in these sports, etc., suppose this football is there, the soccer. He took the ball somewhere in the center of the court and 11 players or 10 players come against him. He dodges all of them and takes the ball, and then the goalkeeper comes in the way, he dodges him also and takes the ball ahead. Now the goalkeeper also fell behind and he is ahead. That is not enough, I tell you. That is not enough. The ball goes and touches the line, that is not enough. It hits the pole and comes back, that is not enough. The soccer is such a funny thing. It hits the pole and hits the line and then came out. The pole above and the line below, it hit both and came out. No goal is given. it has to cross the line below, or it has to touch the net above. Then only goal will be given. Till then, all his efforts will be applauded, but no marks will be given. Spirituality is like that. Therefore, one should not be complacent. The complacency is a big problem of the modernity. In modern lifestyle, especially sensuous lifestyle, the lifestyle filled with sensate values, it makes us complacent. And so the complacence is the worst enemy of a seeker, of a striver. So one, you cannot be complacent. So you have to persist till the goal is reached. Stop not till the goal is reached. Something like that I had. So this so happens in the field of spirituality, the seekers have to be cautious about this. There is every possibility that they get stuck at different stages. They are all stuck at different stages. They may not reach the goal. You have to reach the goal. There is no other way. So, at one time, there was a princess. So, to win the hand of the princess, so all the young prospective bridegrooms of the kingdom, they try, you know. So, she put a condition. Whosoever wins me in running race, from a point to a point, 1 mile or whatever, I will marry him. So that is the condition. So many young people tried and failed. And those who fail will get a punishment also. They have to be put in jail for a year or whatever. Otherwise everybody will try. So that kind of a condition. So one person tried and failed. He was in jail for a year and came out and again tried. This time a lot of effort and again tried. Again he failed. So, then he went to a Mahatma. The Mahatma gave him an advice. He told, he is a rich guy, so purchase gold bricks. Gold bricks you purchase. And earlier day, you strew the path with gold bricks at occasionally. You throw them at different points. And now the running race started. The princess overtook him, because she runs very fast. So, he cannot compete with her. Already twice he was defeated, you know. So, she ran ahead of him. And then, suddenly, she found this gold brick shining. So, she thought, I defeated this guy twice. Kya baat hai? So, I will anyway defeat him. Why not grab this gold brick also? So she took it and put here and started running. In the meanwhile, in her, she has to reduce the speed, take a little step backward, pick it up and again accelerate. In the meanwhile, this person overtook her. Then she became angry and overtook him again. And he fell behind again. And then she became complacent once again. And so she saw another gold brick. She thought, I can grab this also. So she grabbed it. And again he was about to overtake her. Then she ran fast and again went ahead. Then again she saw another gold brick. She picked up half a dozen gold bricks like that. Then she was now over the heavy downside, I say, you know. So that came into picture. Now her acceleration has now come down because she is handicapped now. They say horses, they put handicap on the horses. So now she is handicapped. And this person, he now got one small chance of overtaking her. And the goal is very soon, is near. And he took out his last reserves of energy and overtook her. And she could not overtake him this last time and he won her. And when he won the race, he won her. And all the gold also. So, complacency is like that. We should not be complacent at any stage. We should become perfect to gain moksha. It is infinite. You are going to gain infinite. And what all you have to do is pay the price of finite. You need not pay infinite price. You cannot pay. You can only pay the price of the finite. The world is finite. You have to pay the world as the price. That's all. So, in the karma, in the arena of karma, Bhagavan descends, avatara. Karma mein Bhagavan aata hai. It is called karma yoga. Bhagavan descends in buddhi. It is called jnana yoga. Because wherever there is Bhagavan, it becomes a yoga. Without Bhagavan, it is a yoga. It is samsara bandha it is. With Bhagavan, it becomes yoga. When Bhagavan alone is the goal, then it becomes yoga. And when Bhagavan descends in our emotions, in the mind, that is another faculty that we have, sandwiched between karma and buddhi. Use that faculty also to fill with Bhagavan. That is called bhakti. This bhakti is a very purifying thing. So, you see, suppose you are acting, you are doing puja. Puja is karma. So, what is the difference between karma and karma yoga? The same puja. You need not change this puja and do another puja. The same puja without attachment to the world. If it is done, it becomes bhakti. It becomes bhakti. Because when you replace world with Ishvara, the puja becomes bhakti. Now you are eating food. It is now, the food is not eaten for the sake of bhoga. It is eaten with a sense of love for Ishvara. As Ishvara anugraha, Ishvara bhavana, you bring it into it. Now the earlier puja is karma yoga, now eating food also becomes karma yoga. And then you do some service to gain name and fame. Then it is samsara. You do some service with a sense of devotion. So whom I am serving is an incarnation of God himself. With that kind of a devotion you do. So, then what happens is that service becomes bhakti. So all actions become bhakti. And then at the level of buddhi yoga, Viveka is there. Sankhya, which is Viveka. I know what is Nitya and Anitya. So the world is Anitya. Atma alone is Nitya. Therefore I reject Anitya and hold on to Nitya. So this is Viveka. But there is one small danger there. A minute danger. That is, when I am steeped in Viveka and I lead a very disciplined and simple life of Vairagya, then there is a thing called spiritual ego that comes into the picture. And that says, you are a Virakta Mahatma, whereas all these people are samsaris. So, I came across a Mahatma. He has a title. His title is Virakta Dhurandhara. That is the title. I have seen many Virakta Mahatmas. Very Virakta. I know. They don't have titles and all that. But I came across a Mahatma who has a title called Virakta Dhurandhara, the foremost among Viraktas. That is the title. And so, the title is printed on along with his name. That is the title. So, this title problem has come because the Viveka is there. Sankhya is there. There is a lot of Sankhya practice also. But the spiritual ego has entered into the picture. So how to safeguard oneself from that? Bhakti. Therefore, if there is wisdom in my heart, if I clearly see that the world is unreal, and if I can see, if I stay desireless in my heart, all that glory is there. The glory, it shines. You cannot deny that glory. That glory is there. But all that glory I accomplished, that is the last enemy yet that can pull down the person. So safeguard against that ego. Even in spirituality, that ego should not be there. So that last enemy can be overcome really. If bhakti is there, you are safe. That's why the bhakti, the philosophy of bhakti is like this. I am committed to sadhana. I strive, and with the strength of sadhana, I accomplish moksha. This is wrong. I do sadhana, but moksha I gain by the grace of Ishvara. Therefore, even while pursuing sadhana, karma yoga and sankhya yoga, you should have devotion. Then only you are a perfect yogi, yukta tamaha. Therefore, shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. So that bhakti has to come. Bhakti means devotion. Devotion to whom? Devotion to Ishvara. Then what is Ishvara? The rest of the remaining 6 adhyayas will describe what is Ishvara. So we'll come to it. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.